I wanted to continue where I started last week on Sunday because I felt that my presentation was too rough. I don't mean harsh, I mean it didn't flow because of it's a big subject, and I wanted to work it further and present it to you in a very simple, easy way. And one of the easiest ways I thought to be able to do that was to incorporate a PowerPoint to try to give you some a visual aid of what I'm trying to get across. By way of review, we saw that the church was and is called by different names throughout the Bible. It's called the Church of God. It's called the Church of the Living God. It's called the Church of the Firstborn, this sort of thing. And there are just a few names that it's referenced by. We saw that the word church is derived from the Greek word ekklesia, and the basic meaning of that particular word means the assembled or the called together, the called out. They're called out for a group. One of the names in the New Testament that the church is also called by, it's called by the body of Christ. Colossians 1:18 teaches us that he's the head of the body, the church. That Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Ephesians talks about it's his body. And it's given to be to him to be head over it. And fills all in all. And there are many images of the church in the New Testament. But one of the most important images in the New Testament is representing the church as a body. As a body. No denomination or local assembly can claim to be the, capital T-H-E, body of Christ, because the body of Christ is composed of all true believers. And we looked at the two different aspects of the church. We looked at the church at refer to as the global body of Christ, the entire church, the church of God. We referenced several scriptures that show the global body of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, of course, where it says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's talking about the inception of the church, actually, because the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:32 talks about offending. Give none offense either to the Jew, the Gentile, or to the church of God. That's talking about the global church of God. Ephesians 1, it says he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over the church. Chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, speaking about Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, which is his body. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, one spirit, so forth and so on. Those verses were referring to the global body of Christ, the family of God, the church of God. And then we looked at some verses that referred to the local church, the local congregation, which is part of the family of God, but functions individually, and yet they're part of that. I guess that one definition we learned of cross together with, yet distinctly independent of, would be a good word to use or term to use. Acts 13:1 says, now there were in the church at Antioch. Then he goes on and talks about prophets and teachers and so on. That's talking about not the global church, not the entire church. It's talking about that particular church that was there at Antioch. In Acts 20, verse 17, It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. He called for the elders of the Ephesians, of the Ephesus church. We saw in Romans chapter 16, it says, I commend unto you, verse 1, Phoebe, which is our sister and servant of the church, which is at Caesarea. So there was a church at Caesarea, and Phoebe was a servant at that church. Then, of course, we talked about Aquila and Priscilla and the church that was in their home. And not only does that talk about another local church, but it gives us a little bit more information with regards to how or where the first century church met. They met in houses, in homes, a home church. See? Now, the church is composed of all true believers and was born on Pentecost. No believer on earth is the head of the church. The position is reserved exclusively for Jesus Christ. Various religious leaders may have founded churches or denominations, but Jesus Christ is the founder of the church, which is called his body. The fact that I belong to the universal church does not release me from my responsibilities to the local church. I cannot minister to the church as a whole, nor have I been called to do that. But I can strengthen and build the church by ministering to God's people in a local assembly. And this is where I want to go this morning with you. There are different seasons of life that you go through. And there's been a very exciting and dynamic ride with God thus far, where he has taken us from the beginning to where we are now. And he has at times exposed me to different aspects of his word. And some things, actually most things that I wouldn't think would be on the agenda, the Father has a way of saying, well, this is what's next. No, but the thing is, he does that with every person, and he does that with every church. Okay? It's not that this is a special anything. This is the way God works with his church. This is the way Jesus Christ works with the church of whom he's the head. Okay? He does it as long as a person is willing to listen and consider the word of God and be honest with it. God will work with you. God will fulfill you. He will enable you and he will direct you. Anybody can succeed. You just have to have, a heart to say, know that he's God and you are you and you listen. That's it. We have problems with that sometimes. 1 Corinthians, please. You can go there. 1 Corinthians. So we have looked at verses that refer to the church as the body of Christ, the family of God, the global church, and we have seen verses that refer to local churches and what the local churches were doing. You know, the church in Macedonia, for instance, and the church at Thessalonica. And these churches were moving. For instance, the church at Thessalonica, okay, it says that their faith, their believing was heard all throughout the region, right? Why is that? You got to figure it, sit and think things through. And why did the church at Corinth, and why did the church over here have this, and that, and these attributes, and this church over here was doing? See, they must have realized something. They must have tapped into something. Because what you're going to see is that the church cannot revolve around one man except that man be the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why the church at Thessalonians was a model church, quote unquote, a wonderful church, a church at Ephesus too, is because people were taught who they are. People were taught what God expects of them. And then people made decisions to rise up in that local body, the local body, and get involved. To enter the room in the building that had their name on the desk, open a door, and to sit down at that desk and get to work at their own personal desk. That was reserved for them by God Almighty. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is who?" Grace. So this is what I've decided to do. That's a picture of Mrs. Potato Head. She's got glasses on, that's why. But the reason why I chose this picture to start my presentation is that it's a mosaic. And it has oodles of little pieces. You see them? And those little pieces make up the one big representation of, in this particular case, Mrs. Potato Head. Darling, film will be it later when I get beat. Now, these little pieces represent the members in the church. Okay? They represent the members in the church, and collectively now, all the members in the church make up the body of Christ. You understand? Who is the head of the body? Jesus, right? Okay, so we have members individual. We have Luigi. He's an Italian member of the church. Okay? Happy-go-lucky guy. Got a hat, got a mustache. Looks a little whatever. But he chose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess him as Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead. And guess what happened to Luigi, Carmen? He got placed in the church. Church is made up of females, too. That's kind of a hachi-tachi female. Nonetheless, glamour girl. She belongs to the same church because she loves God, she loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and she got it in. So you got male and female who make up the church of God, the church, okay? Now, you can have all different kinds of people in the church. You can have black people, and I will not be censored or thrown out of the church for saying blackface like the stupid news does. Do you know that they accused Mary Poppins and Dick Van Dyke of being racist because they were chimney sweeps? And remember that scene where they had dirt on their face? Do you know that the media took that and blew it up and said they're racist? Do we live with a bunch of retards or what? You also have family. A little sprout. What's a small potato called? A spud. You got a mommy and daddy and a spud in the church. Fact of the matter is you got all kinds of people that make up the church. From all kinds of nationalities and from all kinds of professions. We have within the church a nurse. That happens to be the head nurse of the hospital, but even a nurse can be inside the church. A soldier could be inside the church, right? I picked this special for Ken. A farmer could be inside the church. Pig farmer, but nonetheless a farmer. And just a wonderful mommy could be in the church. The point is that no matter who's in the church, and where they come from or what they do, when you talk about the body of Christ and the local body, it all begins here. It begins like that. Now you will notice that you have a body and you got all these members down at the bottom, okay? And each one of these members is just as important as the other member. And one of the things I want you to understand about the church is that each one of these members has a placement in the church. And if you start to put these members together in the church to form the one body, the local body I'm talking about, what you have is then you begin to approach a functioning church. A functioning church. Now, that's what a functioning church is supposed to look like, and yet you see the members at the feet of them. You see the feet, you see the ears, you see the mouth, you see the eyes. And Corinthians says all of that. The eye shall not say unto the nose, I have no need of you. The hand shall not say unto this, I have no need of you. So forth and so on. So what you get is when people start to function in the church and take their place in the church, that's what it begins to look like. It looks like a person. It doesn't look like a monster, right? And yet individually, you can be whatever you want to be. See that little eagle's helmet there? I put that there for some of you guys. That's all you're going to see about the Eagles this year. But still, people come from different backgrounds. You understand? But it still starts there. It starts there. And unless you start to piece the body together, it's just going to look bare. And that's not going to accomplish nothing. You understand? You know why it can't accomplish nothing? It can't eat, first of all. We talk about important things. It doesn't have a mouth or hands to feed itself. Right? Now, within the church, and this is where God has taken me, I would think, oh, this is wonderful, this is wonderful. You know, I think one of the most important things that a minister can do in his life, love is there, yeah, you got to love God's people, yeah, you got to teach them. I think one of the most important things that a minister can do for God's people is to show them who they are, to teach them that they've been called by God, and to give them an opportunity for them to be a part of something that they could function out that calling by God and practically apply it. I'm going to show you why I think that. But in order to do that, the minister has to be able to, first of all, he has to grow up and get mature. He has to empty himself of self, and he has to hold the better of the people higher than his own personal gain or his own personal climb to fame, so to speak. Because in trying to coordinate a group of people, you run across people like this. That's Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is a woman inside of the church that thinks she can do everything, that nothing can stop her, that she can just go and go and go and go and go, and that here I am, let me do it. Wonder Woman is often the kind of person in the church that doesn't know how to say no. And for not knowing how to say no, she gets herself in trouble. So you got to understand that person, and you got to be able to help that person function in the church properly so they don't get burned out. And on the other hand, you got this guy. You know who that is? That's the Superman. I should have got a picture of Macho Man. But this guy can do anything, knows everything, can fly anywhere in the world in just a blink of an eye. He's real dependent on himself, you know, on his ability. We heard about that earlier. On what he can do, on his prowess, on his greatness. And when you get inside the church, you got to be able to see that in a person, and you got to be able to help them figure out that that's not probably the best way to be. Here's one of my all-time favorites. That's Mr. Know-It-All. And he sneers at you to let you know that he knows everything. If you ever sat at a chair or a lectern and looked out and saw that face, that's what they're thinking. And it's very difficult to be able to overcome that and stay on course with your presentation of the word. Anybody who's taught for any length of time has come across that face. Right? And you want to reach out and, but you can't. You can't. You get some people in the church that want to do things, but God hasn't called them to do that. Did you ever run across some kind of people? And when you try to function in a ministry or a gift or a work or a talent that you don't have, this is what you look like. You're trying, but you're just never going to get it. Now, see, I thought about this earlier with Carmen. Not that he looks like this, maybe in the morning. But he has a talent. He has a God-given ability and a talent. He belongs behind that lectern. He can lead music. He can engage the crowd. He can start, end. You understand? Not everybody has that ability. He can carry a note and sound good. Now, how many people are adept at carrying notes and sounding good besides Brent Gerhardt in here? Yeah, I mean, we can all hum. You know, God loves us because he looks on our what? There you go. But, see, and that's what I thought. Now, there's a guy who is in the body of Christ and know where he functions and is functioning, listen, and is functioning in his position. See? And that's what's important. And what you have to understand, according to Romans and other sections of the scriptures, is that everybody has a talent. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has a ministry. Everybody has a function or one of those aforementioned. Everybody. Nobody comes to the body of Christ empty. And what you also have to understand is that some are 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And that's by God's design. That's by God's choice. And if you are a 30-fold person and you are functioning at 30-fold, your reward will be 100%. But if you are a 60-fold person functioning at 30-fold, your reward will not be 100%. So everybody has the ability to be part of the local body of Christ. Because, yes, you're in the global body of Christ. But think about it. Where can you live out your life in ministry? It has to be at the local level. And God has given you the local church, not this church. The local church that you have been placed in to function and live out that level. And you want to know whose idea that was? That was God's idea. That wasn't my idea. That wasn't me looking for loyalty or membership or any of that. That was God's idea. God placed you in the body where it has pleased him. And the word pleased is where he has chosen by his will, thelema. It was his will to place you in not only the global body, but the local body. Now, we'll get on to that a little bit later. As a member of the church, you want to find out where you best function. Okay? And then get busy functioning. This member is still trying to figure it out. Yeah, he needs a drink first before he can figure out where he belongs. Right? That's not a good member. He's a good member, but he's a little misguided. See this? You know what that means? That means sometimes members of the church will bring stuff into the church with them that's going on in their lives that they need to get straightened out. See, the church isn't made up of perfect people. And when we come into this body of Christ, sometimes we carry what we call baggage. Sometimes we're a little bit confused, as this guy or girl is here, right? So you have to understand that as a minister, and you have to be able to help that person get straightened out, saying you don't need all these eyes and all these other appendices that I don't know what they're for. This is the way God wants the church to work. There's another thing you need to understand about the church. If you're functioning where you know you should be functioning, you don't need someone telling you you need to be this way. You understand? It's a thing between you and God, and as you grow and you mature, God will teach you in your heart what your best position is, what you should be doing. Another thing that you can glean from this is that if you should be doing this and you have a spouse that's lovingly encouraging you to grow, you shouldn't turn your back on her or him. But you should consider if they're saying the truth that maybe that's the kind of eyes you need to put on. Okay? This is what happens when you fight in the church and you try to usurp people's God-given positions in the church. And you know what happened? You just wound up all messed up and bruised. This is what you don't want as a pastor in the church. See? Because when you get that kind of pastor in the church, he doesn't coordinate and love the people of the church the way God would have it. See that kind of guy, the Terminator? He does what he wants to do. He runs over whoever gets in his way. And if it's not his way, he will make sure he punishes you. And he will make sure that he does it in such a way that nobody else will ever talk to you. Because by the time he's done with you, you're no good for nothing. And that's the way he wants to run the church. You know why he wants to run the church that way? Because he has a personal problem. He is full of fear. He is full of weakness. Now, you would never think a person like that is full of fear and full of weakness. But I'm telling you, he is full of fear and weakness. He has no confidence in himself or any confidence in who he is in Christ. And because he lacks that confidence and self-esteem, he has to put on a front to control people. Because if he had the confidence of who he was in Christ and he walked in the love of God, people would respect him out of that. But because he doesn't understand that, he chooses to handle and gauge that respect in a different way. And that's how he goes about it. He becomes a tyrant. And he runs rules with an iron hand. And he likes to instill fear into God's people. Do not become that if God has ever called you to a position of leadership. That is not how you lead God's people. Not. So you got a bunch of people in the church, and they're supposed to be happy. They're supposed to function. Now, what I want to show you now, we're just going to back up here for a second. Now, that's crooked. And I want to go to the scripture and give you some scriptures now to teach you what I just showed you pictorially. And the first one I want you to go to is 1 Corinthians 12:18. Now see what that scripture says? It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." Okay, now the members are people. Okay? And it says, every one of them. See those words?
Yes.
It says, who set the members?
God.
So did you know that you were hand-picked? That God was so intimately involved and personally involved with you that he picked you. He hand-picked you and he says, I want you to go right there in the body. In the body. Now, he's not only did that with the global body of Christ, but he also did that with the local body of Christ. Because you can't live out your life and calling and ministry in the global body of Christ, per se. You can't help the church in China right now. But the churches in China meeting today can help the church in China. You can't help the church in Thailand right now, but the churches in Thailand can help them. Do you understand? You need a place. This is what God said. This isn't Nicotania. This is what God said. God said they need a place that they can meet. They need a place to grow. They need a place to belong to. They need a place where they can find their position in that local body and function and fulfill my will. That was God's plan. That's not my plan. Do you understand? And if you don't ever see that, you will never see yourself bigger than you. You're part of the one body, yes, but you are also part of the local body. What part of the local body are you? You see, you have to see yourself that big, and you have to understand that it was God's will, as it has pleased him. And those words in the Greek is because of his will. That's the way the Greek reads. God willed it. God chose it. God said, I want you to be in part of this Baptist church, see or such and such, do such and such, or part of this Pentecostal church. Now the question comes up, what if the guy turns out to be the Terminator? Okay? Same thing I taught you in God's Blueprint to Marriage applies here. Nothing, no one ever trumps God. Period. God has created within you something called Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many functions in your life. One of those functions is to lead you into the all truth, to teach you right from wrong spiritually. Okay? If the congregation or the minister is a Terminator type minister, God expects you to have the brain that he created you with to say, you know what, this ain't working out for me. And you need to leave. No, honestly, I'm just being dead straight. And you know what, I could take this teaching and probably sell it to every church in the world because they're afraid to say what I'm going to say. But they would love for their congregation to hear what I'm going to say. And they can blame, this is what he said, isn't that good? But if and when you leave, and you decide that God set you in this local body over here, do you know what you should do? You should get involved, get committed, and start getting busy, belonging, and functioning and ministering in that local body that he set you at. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. It is not God's will for you to hop from here to here to here to here to here to here. That doesn't mean you can't listen to teachings. That doesn't mean that you can't go here or there. What it means is that although you can listen to anything you want and although you can go wherever you want occasionally, your heart, soul, mind, and strength, according to God, should be where he has placed you. And that's where you should function. And that's where you should support. And that's where you should bring people to. And that's where you should do such and such and such and such and such and such. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Do you think God is pleased just getting you born again? You think that's what it's talking about? You know, just look at this in light of the hope. Because that's what some people think about the hope. Oh, I'm going to heaven. All in hell can't stop me. And you know what they do for God for the rest of their life? This much. They sit on their rocking chair and they wait for the hope. And they spout out of their mouth, I'm going to heaven and all hell can't stop me. Do you think God was pleased to set them in the body just so they could say that? He set them in the body so that they could function and live out his plan for their life in the body of Christ. Whatever that plan may be. You see? So it's not a matter of I'm trying to garner you to commit to chapter and verse. No. If that's what you think, get your head out of your butt. You're wrong. What I'm trying to do is to show you the scripture that says God set you in the body. Not only the global body, but he set you in the local body. Now, if you have accepted God's will, and if you believe that he has set you in the local body, and if you believe he did it because he's pleased to do so and this is where he wants you, then what you, the next thing you should do is, what is my part in the body? It could be the Pentecost body, it could be this body, it could be whatever local one. First of all, decide where you're going to function and decide where you think God has set you. After you realize, okay, God set me here, your next question should be, what am I good at and where can I function, where can I take my place in the body? That's what it should be. And when you do that, that's when you start to see the church of Thessalonica. That's when you start to see the Ephesian church. When people work together, understand what God wants, and functions in their calling and their ability. Do you get it? You have been invited into the body of Christ. When you accepted that invitation, that calling, God has placed you into the global body of Christ called the family of God. God has given you certain abilities, talents, and gifts, and all have received a measure of faith. That measure is sufficient enough to enable you to function in the body of Christ and to exercise those gifts to the fullest extent. God does not call the equipped, he equips the called for the work of and in the church. Bible says that you can do all things through Christ. Don't you realize how important you are to God and the local church that he has placed you in? You need to see God's plan for your life this big. Are you happy where God has decided to place you? You see? Or do you think he made a mistake? God makes no mistakes. And don't you know how much God cares about you, that he would personally get involved in your life and not only handpick you, but also place you in the body where you would serve best? Don't let the devil talk you out of your part in the body of Christ. Why don't we choose to believe that God loves us that much? Why don't we choose to believe that he's that interested in our life and that he has our best interest in mind when he's placed us where we will grow the best? God doesn't expect you to let anyone trump him or his word. He has created Holy Spirit within you to guide you into his truth. If your pastor has become Mr. Terminator, the best thing for you to do is find a church with a good pastor, and listen carefully, and support that church 100%. Because God wants you functioning in that body, supporting that local congregation. Because whose body is it? It's yours. You're part of that body. It's one body. Think about this. Where do you think you can live out God's will in your life? Where do you think you're going to be able to live out God's will in your life, if not the local church, the one body? Where are you going to go for manifestations? Where are you going to learn about manifestations? Where are you going to go that you can sing together with other like-minded believers? Where are you going to go that you can come together around God's word, that you can break meal together, that you can fellowship in the apostles' doctrine, so forth and so on? It was all about the church in the beginning. Don't you understand? When they started, they were all together. And then it started to grow. You should realize that you serve at the will and the pleasure of your God and not your own. Let me say that again. You serve at the will and pleasure of your God and not your own. Because He's the one who placed us here. People come and people go into revolving doors of churches all over the world every day. Dr. Wellwell once said that man's basic spiritual problem is the integrity of the word. I would like to think that right up there with the 10 top quotes that he's ever made, and I would like to add that in those 10 top quotes, I would put man's basic problem is that he's selfish. Now, I didn't say spiritual problem. I said basic problem is that he's selfish. He goes to church to see what he can get from the church. Whether it's the teaching, whether it's the love of the people, whether it's money, whether it's entertainment, whatever. He goes to church for himself. Now, don't get me wrong. The church should provide some of these things. However, God has chosen to place man in the local church primarily so that he could belong, so that he could take his place among the local body of believers, and so that he could live out God's plan for his life. See, God has made available a place that man could give instead of take. God knows that it's better to give than to receive. That's why God designed the church to be doers of the word and not hearers of the word. He designed the people of the church to be givers and not takers. He designed the people to be people who edify and not tear down. People who are able to let go and not hold on to the things of this world. We are to bear the infirmities of the weak. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, that he could work with his hands so that he could have the what? Give. To give. When the congregation of the local church stops looking at the inabilities and shortcomings of the people, and they begin to look at the Christ within them and within their fellow believers, then that church will begin to realize the plan that God has for them. That church will begin to move ahead with the things of God in human unity and harmony. Programs are not designed to attract people into the church. Programs are a result of a growing church in unity meeting the needs of those people in the church. You don't have a children's fellowship so you can attract people to your church because you have a children's fellowship. Because it is not the job of the church to raise your children in the word of God. It is the job of the parents. A children's fellowship develops and evolves and grows because of the needs within a growing church to supply. Because the church is to be self-sufficient, self-governing, self-propagating. Do you understand? All under the umbrella of God and Jesus Christ. Not independent of. Never to be independent of. Okay, now let me show you something. Three times, I didn't study it in depth, but three times I've noted for you. In the Word of God, this truth is illuminated in 1 Corinthians 12. You see on the monitor, verse 4, diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversity of administrations, but the same Lord. Diversity of operations, but the same God. See it?
Yes.
You got all these different things going on, but it all comes back to It's God. It's the Lord, Jesus Christ. You understand? The manifestation is given to who? Everybody. For what?
Prophet.
A prophet. But in verse 11 it says, these all work in that one self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Okay, and I'm not going to get involved with the Greek and argue about this, that, and the other thing. I'm telling you that from the context, the he in that verse is God. That's what I'm telling you. It's not the man. The man has to will, but it's not the man. God's got to be involved to give the word of knowledge. God's got to be involved to give the word of wisdom. God's got to be involved for the healing to take place. God's got to be involved for all that other stuff. It's severally as he wills. In other words, the preceding verses, okay, as wonderful as they are, and whoever has the gift, whoever has the talent, whoever has these abilities, and all of these manifestations, what this verse is telling you is that God's given all these enablements. He's given some to certain ones. He's given some to all as the manifestations, but is as he wills. He wills. It's God's choice. God was pleased. He willed. Will, thelema. He wills it. All right, now watch. The next set that comes under this. For as the body is one, you know all this. We just learned it. Then we get to verse 18 and we look at the same truth. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has, same word, pleased him. In other words, it is his will. So just as it was his will for the manifestations, for the diversities of gifts, for the administration of gifts and all those things, it was his will, as he wills, severally as he wills. He lists how the body should function and the people that he placed where he placed them. And he says, as he wills. Do you understand? It's whose deal is this now?
God.
Is this the church's deal? Is this the minister's deal? Is this some board of governors deal to figure out how? No. This is how God wanted it done. Do you understand? This is the way God wants things done. If God said you could go and do whatever you want, whoever you want, however you want, he would have said that. But he didn't say that. He said, I placed you in the body, not only global, but the local body, as it has pleased me. This is where I want you. This is what he's saying. When you decide your church, whether it be here or somewhere else, what God is saying to you is, this is where I want you. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go in that church. I want you to be part of that one body. And if you're an ear, I want you to get busy listening. If you're an eye, I want you to get busy seeing. If you're... Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I want you to get involved in your church. That's what he's saying. Now he comes down, he says this. He said that one time with the manifestations, the gifts, the ministry, this sort of thing. He says it here with regards to the body. Watch this one. 28. And God hath, what'd he do again? He set some. You see, it says some. You know what some means? It means some. In the church, he set some apostles. He set some prophets, he set some teachers, and so forth and so forth and so on. The point of it is this, though. Who set them in the church?
God
did. This wasn't the church's idea that I'm going to go to school and I'm going to come out and be a teacher. Boy, the church got it backwards, because that's exactly what they do for the most part. You go to seminary or you go to Bible college or whatever, and you come out and all of a sudden you're supposed to be a pastor. Well, what if you're not set in the church as a pastor? Because who gives that designation?
God
does. So you know what you got? You got a bunch of people coming out being trained as pastors that God never said he wants them to be a pastor. I didn't say it. God said it. And if a prophet is supposed to be a prophet and he tries to act like a pastor, there's going to be a problem. And if there's someone who's supposed to be good in the helps of government trying to act like a pastor, there's going to be a problem. Because they haven't found the place where God has sent them in the church. And you know what you got? You got a bunch of confusion. You got a bunch of mess. And God's church is not a church of confusion. It's not a church of mess. So in closing, this is what I'm telling you. That's who we are globally. You understand? But this is also who we are locally. And unless you understand that this assembly right here is just as much your assembly, and you have just as much to offer, do, say in this assembly as I do or Chuck does, you won't see this thing do nothing. Because what will happen is the eye, the ear, the arm, the leg, the nose will all fall on the shoulders of a faithful few who will do whatever they have to do to get things up and running. But that is not God's will. God's will is that you would put your shoulder to the plow. God's will is that you see who you are and that you have an ability and a talent and that you rise up in the church and that you do these things. I cannot teach you how to sing because that is not my ability. But Carmen can teach you how to sing. Do you understand? I cannot do this and I cannot do that. And don't come to me and say, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? Because my answer to you is going to be, why don't you do this? It's your idea. You do it. And I'll be blessed to help you. I will be blessed to provide a place for you to do it. See, you got to understand. You got to feel part of something. You got to understand that it's not that you only feel part, but that's God's, it was God's idea. He made this big thing. He didn't make it just so you could sit there and receive, right? What did we learn about the Dead Sea? All inlet, no outlet? If you have ideas, if you have a skit, if you have a suggestion, if you have, you know what you need to do? You need to get involved. Stop thinking of this place as somewhere to come and be taught and have fellowship and leave. Start thinking of it the way God wants you to think of it. And not only this place, every other place. Start thinking of it as a place that God's placed you in, that He's called you to, that He's given you abilities, talents to exercise in, and to be part of, and to grow into the maturity of what He wants us to grow. And once you start to see yourself in the body of Christ like that, then things will happen. And you won't say stupid things, oh, I couldn't do that, or I'm not good at that, or I'm not good there, what can I have to offer? Dumb things that the devil puts in your mind and say stupid things like that. Everybody's got something to offer. Everybody. And it's so diverse, and there's so many things that you could offer and so many things you could do. If we just started going right down here and going row after row, name one thing. I clean, I could help, I could write, I could proofread, they'll just start spouting off. We could visit. We could provide this. We could do that. Lots of things you can do if you want to do. You understand? But man's got this thing where he just wants to take. He wants to take. He wants to take. That's not what Jesus was all about. Was Jesus a taker? Are we supposed to walk in his steps? Was he the best example of being a giver and a doer that ever lives? Right? See? You have... This is your baby. It's... No success or failure on one man. Do you understand? This is yours. If you don't feel that way, find a place that you can feel that way about. The point is, you got to find a place. Or you know what you do? You become a lone wolf. You get torn off. You sit in front of a TV and you think that that's God's will for you. You want to know something? As wonderful as some of those ministers are, they're doing a discredit to God's people. Because a lot of those people think that they can sit in front of a TV and get God's will. And they might be able to get God's will, but they have nowhere to practically apply that will. Okay? God designed the body of Christ. He put Christ as the head. Why do you think he did that? Just so we could have the book of Ephesians and read a couple, you need a couple more verses to fill in the pages? No. So, I hope that you would see yourself as God sees you. And I hope you would realize that it's not about a minister, that it's about you. And that God has chosen you. And that God has a plan for your life. Don't worry about God's plan for my life. Okay? I'm going to do whatever I can do to believe that I'm going to work out that plan. You should be more concerned about who you are and what he wants you to do. And where he wants you to do it. Because you need a place to do it. Honestly, you need a place to do it. He set you in the body as it pleased him. Okay, now what body has he set you in? And don't tell me the global body and you don't have to do anything. He's placed you in a local congregation, a local body, so he's pleased with you. And he expects you to rise up and be the man or woman of God. There's your ending song that he's called you to be. Okay? So I hope that that's a little bit more clear about who you are, how important you are, and he's waiting for you to get it so you could rise up and do it. And it's not about Nick. It's not about loyalty here. It's about God, and it's about serving somewhere. Figure it out. But once you do, do it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because that's what God wants from you. He wants you to be blessed, and he's provided places around the globe for you to be blessed in. All you got to do is pick one and do it. But don't get involved, okay? Love you.